Think about
going to heaven. Talk about going to heaven.
A lot of us don't quite understand what is meant by that. Think about going to heaven. That is to say, when heaven is manifested. And think about hearing the beautiful, beautiful songs of Zion. Every person that ever sang the song for Christ, that ever lived a Christian life, every woman, every man, every voice that's ever been heard for the glory of God, it'll be there in heaven. All of the beautiful singing, all of the beautiful music. You enjoy a little bit of it here, you know, but up there, just think, that'll be from now on. I want to read a little bit from chapter 3 of the book of St. John. See if the Lord will give us a thought or two tonight. We've been going into some things that has to do with the revelation of the Son of God. Everything in the Bible is spiritual. Though we are carnal and sold unto sin, the Bible tells us, yet God is a spirit. And he desires that we be spiritual. If we sing, we should sing in the Spirit. If we preach, we should preach in the Spirit. If we should live, we should live and walk in the Spirit. And it is God's will and God's desire that we be in the Spirit. We can be in the Spirit if we want to be in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. We can have spiritual things. Or we can sell our birthright for a morsel of bread and sell out to the world for the things of the world and the desire of the flesh. We can do that. If a person wants to be fleshly, they can be fleshly. If they want to be spiritual, they can be spiritual. Nobody's going to stop them. God gives us all the opportunity to be whatever we want to be. That's the beauty of serving God, is that God doesn't make anybody do anything. He doesn't request anything out of anybody but what they want to do. If they want to be spiritual, they can be spiritual. If they want to be natural, they can be natural. If they want to be carnal, they can have the carnal things in life and lay the spiritual things aside. It's up to them. But years ago, I decided that I wanted to be spiritual. I didn't hardly know how to be spiritual. I was still in my teens, and I didn't know how to be spiritual, but I wanted to be spiritual. So I began to sell out to God and lay aside everything to be spiritual and to follow after the Spirit. Everything that the world had to offer, I wanted to lay it aside to be spiritual and to follow after the Lord Jesus. And this, of course, is what I did. And today, I'm so thankful to God that I did. I'm looking at eternal life. I'm looking at eternal riches, eternal splendor and joy and magnificence beyond the wildest imagination. Because I chose to do one thing, and that is to lay up my treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. The Bible said, lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, it will captivate your heart. There your heart shall be also. All of your endeavors shall be there. So, that is what I decided to do. I want to read from chapter 3. This speaks of being spiritual. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees. This is St. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is Jesus talking, the greatest man that ever lived in the world, from beginning to end, from everlasting to everlasting. This is God Almighty that made the flowers, the birds, the streams, everything. This is God talking. He's walking the earth as a man. And he's talking, the greatest man that ever lived. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice this now, said there was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to comment on that a little bit tonight. First of all, if you'll notice in chapter 4, relating to this, the 21st verse, Jesus saith unto her, speaking of the woman at the well, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, I want you to notice something here now. The conversation is between a heavenly creature and an earthly creature. Can you grasp that now? Between a heavenly creature and an earthly creature. Here is one that is in heaven. It is a man, just like I'm a man, but he is in heaven. It's not a matter of a myth or a make-believe or perhaps something that you couldn't get a hold of as to being a reality. It is real. He's in heaven. Jesus is standing there, and yet he is in heaven. We could doubt that, but I've referred to this a number of times. When Jesus went up on the mountain, he proved he was in heaven. He proved that the raiment glistened. He proved that he was in heaven. Now, when Elijah was standing there and the man was afraid, he proved that he was in heaven.
He was a man just like I'm a man. The Bible said Elijah was a man like I'm a man. He was a man of like passion, as same as I am, or same as any other man. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave forth rain. And yet he was a man, just like I'm a man. He had the same problems I have, the same problems that you have as a man, or as a person. See, but it was said that he stood there, according to the report of the Bible, the writings. He stood there and said, God opened this man's eyes. Now, it seems to me like the only problem with the church of today is that we need our eyes open. Seems like that's the only problem, because that's all he said. See, even Jesus here in the first chapter of the book of John, it says that while they were baptizing, John says he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? When it says neither that prophet, it means the prophet that Moses spoke of for God. It shall come to pass that God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself, and whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Which was speaking of Jesus. So, all this man Elijah said was open his eyes. Open his eyes. Now, that's what I want God to do to me. That's what I want God to do to you. I want God to open your eyes, let you see. I want to see the things of God. I want my eyes to be open so that I can see. And I want to do what God tells me to do. I want to go where God tells me to go. I want to see what God tells me to see. I want to do what God tells me to do. So then he said, open his eyes. Father, open his eyes. Heavenly Father, open his eyes. The Bible said, having eyes, ye see not. Having eyes, that though you have the eyes, you see not. Which means that you may have the eyes, but you may have them closed. See, if I close my eyes, then I see not, though I have eyes. Now then, if your eyes are closed, as it was with Paul, Paul's eyes was closed. His natural eyes was open so that he could see all around him, but his spiritual eyes was closed, and he couldn't see anything until the scales fell from his eyes. So then, tonight, I would say, God, open my eyes. God, open your eyes. God, open their eyes. Open the eyes so that we can see. Not my natural eyes, because I'm looking at you with my natural eyes. But I would say, God, open my spiritual eyes. For the Bible said, having ears you hear not, having eyes ye see not. And the Bible said that ye that love the things of this world can never see when good cometh. For the Bible says that the god of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded your eyes that you cannot see. The blind man that sat by the wayside said, open my eyes that I may see. Jesus heard the pleading of the man and turned around. And though the disciples forbid him, yet Jesus said, don't do that. So he went over and he opened up the man's blinded eyes. Tonight, Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, all he's got to do is touch my eyes or touch your eyes and your eyes will come open. Otherwise, you are a creature of darkness and you dwell in deep darkness. And the Bible said, gross darkness shall cover the people. Though you might be alive in the world and you might be doing all kind of things, you could be wealthy, you could have education, you could have talent, you could do anything in the world and still be blind. You need your eyes open. God, open his eyes. Pray that God will open your eyes. God, grant unto us the spirit of revelation that we can comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this great, wonderful, phenomenal thing, even as Jesus did. When Jesus walked the earth, his mind comprehended heaven and earth. And here he stands with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and he's talking to Nicodemus. And while he's talking to Nicodemus, he's standing in heaven. He's standing there in heaven. While he is talking to Nicodemus, Jesus is standing in heaven. And he's telling Nicodemus, he said, no man has ever ascended up to heaven. No man, he said, except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? No man has ever ascended up to heaven. You say, then where did Elijah go? Where did Enoch go? Where did these others go? Where did Paul go? There's an answer to all of that. But he said, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And he said, Nicodemus, who is in heaven? And here he stands. Nicodemus's eyes are not open. And Elijah said, Father, open the man's eyes that he might see. And when the man's eyes were open, he began to see into heaven. He began to see the fiery chariots. He began to see the prancing horses. And he suddenly realized that there was another world. You know, you might get depressed, you might get cast down, and you can't get anything to go right. You don't have any real get up and go in life, you know, because you just look around and see the drabness of life. You say it's a routine. Whatever somebody's done, somebody else has already done. And whatever you do, it's just doing the same thing over, getting in a rut. So you say life is drab. You get a gun, you blow your brains out. People have done that, you know. You don't have to do that. There's an excitement to life. There's another side of life. There's the brighter side of life. They have a little song they sing, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side of life. See, there is a light side of life. There is a sunny side of life. There is a side of life that offers something to you, that gives you something, that holds something for you. And you don't have to be on the dark side of living all the time. You can be on the bright side of life, on the sunny side of life. But to be on the sunny side, you've got to have Christ in your heart. You've got to have God in your heart. You can sing a song, and that song can be drab, and that song can be just, you know, it doesn't inspire, it's just nothing. Just a lot of vocal utterance, and that's all. But when you get Christ on the inside, and then you start singing, there comes forth a life, there comes forth a light, there comes forth an inspiration. And this is so outstanding, this life that comes forth, until the song, it just penetrates. It just penetrates. You can say words the same way. You can live a life that when you come around, it just does something for people. You can live that kind of life. It's such an inspiration. You know, in this world, the only real inspiration to life is youth. People look for youth because that is life. To them, they see life. They see what we call the springtime of life. Everything's budding. Everything's coming forward. And they run after this and they turn to this and they make a fuss over this because this is life. This is what everybody's looking for. Even medical science is looking for life. They're trying their best to preserve life. They want to preserve the body. Preserve their natural heritage, and they want to preserve life to enjoy it. See, nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But that's not what we're looking for. Someday that has to fade away. Whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl, that has to fade away. Because that is only God showing you what life is. And it's got to fade away. There's no one that's ever been able to retain it. And the Bible said no man can retain the spirit at death. It goeth back to God who gave it. No man had power over the spirit to retain it at death. See, and so then you start aging through life. From the time of this youth, after a while, you've shown life. You've shown your talent. You've shown everything. And you've done either good or bad with it. And God is going to reward you according to whether you've done good or bad with it. Like the man that talked to me over the telephone from Alaska. He said, Brother Pike, I've waited too late. Had a lot of opportunity, he said. He said, but I've waited too late to do anything for God. And he said, I feel like God has brought us together to where maybe I can do a little something. See, his life is fading away. Your life is fading away. Every day of your life, you're nearer to the grave than you was when you first started your pilgrimage. See, life is fading away. So then you come into the springtime of life. You blossom as a little bud. See, you put out your fruit. Your leaves are green and tender. And you're looking good. Everything's fine because you're exuberant. You got everything to live for. If you don't get gummy and sticky and all messed up with sin and the things of the world, you know you got a wholesome, pure, virtuous, clean, upright life. And you're bubbling like a little spring. See, that's life. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. I'm the fountain of life that's open in the house of David. So then when we see this, we know that life is in its infancy, or life is right in its beginning. It's right in the prime, as we say. But remember, though that's life and every bit life, yet it's going to begin to fade away. It's going to begin to fade away. Life itself will not be tarnished. Life itself is spirit. And the spirit on you or on the inside of you will be no different when you age 10 years from what you already are. If you age 30 years from what you already are, the spirit will be no different because it never grows old. And this is the secret to eternal life. This is the secret to eternal riches and eternal health and eternal happiness, is to be born again. Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, ye shall never see life. You've got to be born again. See, to ever see life, you've got to be born again. If you're not born again, you're never going to see life. So then having life is to be born again. Because you're born into this world as a natural individual. And you must be born again to become a spiritual individual. You've got to pass from the world of flesh to the world of spirit. Because as long as you are flesh, you're on the withering end. You're on the changing end. You're on the diminishing end. You know, we would ask the question, why does God kill everybody? What pleasure does God get just sitting back, letting us be born so he can kill us? One at a time he killed us. He just killed us out by the flock. You know, why does God get out of that? Why don't he just leave us alone and let us live? For the simple reason that sin is in your life, fellas, ladies. It's because sin is in your life. That's what it is. God isn't killing anybody. The Bible said death came by man, not by God. It's man that's doing the killing. It is Lucifer that's responsible for the death. See, there is a sentence of death within your natural body. Within your natural person, there is a sentence unto death. This sentence unto death causes you to die. God doesn't want you to die. God didn't make you to die. God didn't make Adam and Eve to die. God made them to live. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Not coming that you might die. I want you to live. I want you to live, and that on eternal basis. I want you to live forever, Jesus said. I want you to have abundant life, which means filled up and overflowing. The word abundant means filled up, and it means overflowing. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. I've come that you might have life, and have it filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. So then, life within you can be filled up and overflowing. You can have eternal life. See, it's not a matter of your body. Your body has the sentence of death in it because of sin. And Jesus came and died at Calvary that your body might escape eternal destruction. That God might not have to destroy this body. The Bible said that your body is the temple of God. And the man that defileth that temple, God will destroy that body. If you willingly give your body to sin, then God will have to destroy your body. But if you don't give your body to sin, if you're jealous over your body with a godly jealousy, and you won't let sin have that, then God gives you eternal life. God gives you that body on eternal basis. God brings youth. God brings health. God brings strength. God brings everything to you that has to do with life. For the Bible said God has given us all things that pertain unto life. He has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. These promises of life, all kind of promises, these are great and mighty promises. They can never be altered. They can never be changed. But for you to be partakers of them, you've got to be spirit. You've got to be born again. You've got to get out of the flesh. You've got to get in the spirit. As long as you're going around lusting after one another, as long as you got your mind on the flesh, as long as you got your mind on money, as long as you got your mind on passions, as long as you got your mind on the things of the world, you can't have eternal life. There's no way you can have it. But the Bible said you're in the flesh, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's the people that belong to this world. They're in the flesh. They hunger and thirst after the things of the flesh. All they want is the things of the flesh. They live for the things of the flesh. That's all that they enjoy. That's all they want. That's all they look for. And then there are people that are born of the Spirit. And their conversation is in heaven. Their desire is in heaven. Their hunger and their thirst, their appetite is in heaven. And all that they want is heavenly things. They could care less, as the world says, about earthly things. All they want is the heavenly things. They want to talk about heavenly things, think about heavenly things, be with heavenly people, and they want to be part of the heavenly world. So then, if you're born again, this is the kind of person you are. You belong to another world. You're dead to this world. You don't belong to this world. This world is a vexation, vanity, and vexation of the spirit, Solomon said. See, you are a spiritual being, and everything in the natural world is vanity. It's going to pass away. And everything in the natural world is a vexation of your spirit. Because even Solomon, the great man of wisdom, went about despairing of life. All the time he despaired of life. He said, I've got great riches. I've got great wisdom. I've got all kind of things. Even the queen of Sheba came from afar just to hear the wisdom of this great man. See, but he despaired of life. It was vanity. It was vexation of the spirit because he knew he had to die. He knew he had to leave it. All of it was on the diminishing side. See, you are diminishing. You must diminish. John said concerning himself that he had to decrease, that Christ might increase. Because John showed the fleshly side of it and Christ showed the heavenly side of it. See, I am of two people. I am of a twain origin. I am of spirit. I am of flesh. In my body, I am of flesh. That is the diminishing side. That is John the Baptist side. That side must decrease that the Christ side of me might increase. I increase in Christ on the inside. And Paul said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So then to preserve the outer man, I must consider him dead by the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Dead to the world. I am dead to the world by the body of Jesus. And the world is dead to me by the body of Jesus. So then it's not I that live, but it is the Christ side of it. It is the spiritual side of it. I'm not a natural man anymore. That's gone, that's dead, that's buried. But I'm a spiritual man. I am born to the Spirit. If you're not born to the Spirit, he said, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Can I see the kingdom of God? Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. I see the kingdom of God. I see the kingdom of God very clearly. I cannot see the kingdom of God with my natural eyes. These little eye nerves, that's to my brain that records things. I can't see the kingdom of God with that because the kingdom of God is too great. But the kingdom of God within me is to the mind of Christ and the things of Christ. By faith in God, by the eye of understanding, I see it very clearly. I see, as Jesus said, what my Father does. I see the kingdom of God. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I belong to the kingdom of God. I live in the kingdom of God. I walk in the kingdom of God. I'm not in the world. I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. If I was in the flesh, I could not please God. For the Bible said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So then I walk in the Spirit. I talk in the Spirit. I think in the Spirit. My plans are in the Spirit. You say, well, Brother Pike, does that mean you don't ever do anything natural? Yes and no. That is, to you, I do things natural, because you look at me and you say, well, I know that's natural. But see, according to what I understand, I do things spiritual. You know, I might build a house and it will be a spiritual thing. You might build a house, it will be a natural thing. Oh, somebody says, but I got you. I know you do natural things. No, you haven't got me, because everything I do, the Bible tells me to do it. God bless your heart. Search it out. I know where your mind went to, but search it out and you'll find out it's exactly according to the Bible. So then I do the spiritual things of life. I do what God tells me to do. I walk in the Spirit. I talk with God, and day by day I do the things that please the Heavenly Father. Why? Because that's what He wants me to do. That's what I want to do. So then we can be spiritual all the way. Somebody says you can't be spiritual all the way, Brother Pike. You can be spiritual all the way. As long as you're in the Bible, as long as you're doing what the Bible tells you to do, then you're spiritual. If you do it 100%, then you're 100% spiritual. So then we can walk in the Spirit. We can talk in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Paul said, pray in the Spirit, and we can be a spiritual being. Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you're born to the Spirit, unless you can become a spiritual person. You know, this is so wonderful. Paul was a spiritual man. He walked in the Spirit, always in the Spirit. All that Paul did was in the Spirit, and God blessed him. That was a wonderful thing. Paul had a lonely life. He lived a lonely life. He was not married. He did not have companionship. He did not have children. But he lived with God every day and had a wonderful life, a life filled with exuberance, a wonderful life. And then there was Peter that walked in the Spirit with God continually. Though Peter had a family, yet he walked in the Spirit with God. There was Abraham, Father Abraham, the father of faith, walked in the Spirit. Elijah walked in the Spirit. Many people walked in the Spirit. All down through the years, they walked in the Spirit continually with God. This is what we need to do. If you've never been born again, you can't walk in the Spirit. If you've never been born again, you can't be in the Spirit. You're still in the flesh. You can't see the kingdom of God. Because it is when you're born again, and your inner man enters into the mind of God or into the mind of Christ, then you begin to see heavenly things, and you begin to record heavenly things, and you begin to understand heavenly things. All of these heavenly things begin to come to you. And then you can say, like Paul of old, inside of me I have heavenly treasure in this earthen vessel. And so then, going into the heavenlies, walking with God every day, you can look on the bright side of life. You can keep on the sunny side of life. You can have God on the inside. You can turn the light on in the house. You don't have to dwell in the darkness. See, so there is a spiritual man and there is a natural man. There is a spiritual woman and there is a natural woman. And they that are natural think carnally, and their mind is on the natural things and on the carnal side of life. But they that are born to the Spirit, they think spiritually, and their mind is in the Spirit, and they walk in the Spirit, and they don't live in this world. To live in this world, you've got to live in the flesh. And if you're dead with the body of Jesus, your spirit having gone back to God who gave it, then your spirit is in heaven. And when God sees you, He doesn't see you as the natural man anymore. You're dead to your trespasses and sin. You're dead to your stumblings and staggerings. You're dead to the lust of the flesh, to the gullible desires of this world. You're dead to those things. And though you might stumble, though you might stagger, you're still dead to it. God doesn't count any of those things against you, because you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If I stumble and I stagger, God doesn't charge anything against me at all, because I'm not in the flesh. How can He charge anything against me when I'm not in the flesh? How can He charge me with sin? How can He charge me with the things of this world? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, when you sin, God charges you with it. How can He charge me with it when I'm not in this world? I'm not of the world, neither am I in the world. If I was of the world would love me. For the Bible said the world loveth its own, and it's for sure they don't love Brother Pike. So then, you say, why do they say mean things against you, Brother Pike? Why do they find so many faults against you? Is it because God doesn't love you? No, it's because God loves me the more. The Bible said, be exceedingly glad, leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. See, so I know the world doesn't love me. But like it goes, you know, it says no love lost because I don't love the world. See, the love of the world is not in me, so why should I care whether or not the world loves me? But the thing that I'm interested in is the love of God. I want the love of God. I want the favoritism of God. I want God to smile on me. I want God to look at me like he did Daniel and say, oh, thou beloved man of God. Like he did to Gideon, oh, thou mighty man of valor. I want him to look at me like he did Moses and say, there's not a more faithful man in all the land, or humble and meek as it was with Moses. I'd like for him to look upon me like Jesus, the beloved Son of God. Wouldn't you like to be a son of God? So then, God being no respect to person, he can love me, he can love you, he can love us all, and still give us that same equality of love. God can love us. Like Brother Branham said one time, as concerning the little fish that are out in the sea, some could be afraid to take a drink because they might drink up all the water. You know, but they're confident there's plenty of water for them and the big lazy whale as well. So then, I'm in the Spirit, and this is eternal. This is from everlasting to everlasting. There's no boundaries with this, no beginning with this, no ending with this. And I can have all the Spirit that I want to. I can be filled with the Spirit. I can just keep on, keep on, keeping on. I can go into the mind of Christ and have these wonderful revelations, not hallucinations. You know, you can take a little dope and start hallucinating. But I'm not talking about hallucinating. I'm talking about revelating. I can go into the revelation of God and I don't become a vegetable and I don't lose my mind and I can still enjoy the thrills of glory and the thrills of heaven, and I can go not into an imaginary world of hallucination. I don't have to get into a world of lying vanities or strong delusions. I can go into the world of God. And I can walk in the world of God. I can see those things like the fiery chariots and the prancing horses. I can see those things like John saw the angelic beings as they go to and fro in their duties of glory. You can do that. Angels of God appear to you. Angels of God come to visit with you. Like the angel that came to Brother Branham. Brother Branham was praying, and the little story concerning his life said he was back off in the woods somewhere by himself. And while he was back there praying, all of a sudden he said a light fell down on the floor. There, as he looked at the light, he suddenly realized there had to be something nearby. Looked up, and here was the ball of fire. Here was the pillar of fire throwing a light down on the floor. And said he heard steps coming, the steps coming like that. He said as he listened to them, naturally he must have been real fearful. Being there by himself, being in the dark, way down the woods in a little old hut, wherever he heard him step, but said his steps got closer and closer, and all of a sudden, said the man stepped right out into the light. And he looked, and there stood an angel. Right in the light that was coming down, just like a spotlight on some kind of entertainer, there stepped out the angel of God and said, I am the angel of God sent from the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, if something like that happened to me, I'd just, you know, I'd be gone. If an angel got close to me, somebody would say, well, I could never stand it, Brother Pike. I could never take it. But did you know the Bible says that the angel of God encamps round about them that love him and fear him? Did you know there's angels in here tonight? Did you know there's an angel of God that watches over you wherever you go? It isn't that if the angel got close to you that this would happen. He's always close to you. But the thing is, if you come to recognize him standing there, that's what it is. You know, if you could just recognize that he's standing there. And that's the way it is. See, you walk with the angels of God. You talk with the angels of God. Have a good time. A lot of times when you're about to have a wreck and you would have been killed. You don't realize it. You know, you think, my, I barely escaped that. I almost went off the cliff. I almost went off into this place. You know, I've almost went off a cliff a number of times and in the snow and whatever, in the ditches, and turned over, and have turned over a number of times. But the thing is, all of a sudden you say, I barely escaped. But that wasn't what it was. The angel of the Lord just flew swiftly and just kind of caught a hold of it and flipped it back up on the wheels, as we say. Like going out through Texas one time, hit the ice and the snow going out through there. And I mean, we were going, and all of a sudden, off of the embankment, down across the field, over slammed the car on its side, and bang, up it slammed again on its wheels, and everything was well, and we was on our way again. See, God did that. Somebody said, ooh, I barely made it. No, that wasn't what it was. We didn't barely make it. The angel of God was there. That's what it was. He didn't let nobody get hurt. Everything was just fine. I remember when me and Betty was going down the hill, I related it to you. Down the hill we went, and George Jr. driving us right into the creek. Down we went. The car slid, hit the bridge, off in the creek it went, and there we was in the creek. And we got somebody to pull it back out, and on our way we went. None of us was hurt. See, everything was just fine. Wasn't no problems. Same old vehicle, still running. We were right on with it. See, God blessed it. I remember the time when we was going along, Betty and I was going along, and all of a sudden, I stuck out my hand, but I stuck it out too late. And something went bang in the car, went round like a top, over into the ditch it went on its side. And the next thing I know, somebody was pulling us out the top up there. We got out, nothing wrong, everybody fine. Got out, children, wife, everything just fine. Got the old vehicle back up, and we're still good and still running. See, God did that. Numbers of times that we've had wrecks, turned over, got hit, whatever, you know, and narrow escapes. There's just been so many of them, but God has blessed us, folks. Amen. God has been with us. Why did that happen? Because the angel of God was close by, and when that thing happened, he flew swiftly, as it said in Daniel, and he just caught that car and flipped it back up and kept us on a going. So this is the wonderful thing of serving God, walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, having a good time in God, getting our eyes open. Elijah said, open his eyes. Folks, this is what we need to do, is get our eyes of understanding open. You've got eyes of understanding. Can't you get your eyes open? Can't you listen? Can't you take heed how you hear this? Get your eyes open and learn about these wonderful things that we're talking about. Wouldn't you like to walk in the Spirit? Wouldn't you like to have the angel of God to take care of you through all of these things and help you to escape? I remember Jesus, Betty and I went to this place over in Nazareth. He was in the midst of the people, and they was about to throw him off of a cliff. There's a little mountain there, and they was going to throw him off of it. But the angel of God just worked with Jesus as a man. And before they realized it, he just was gone out of their sight. They couldn't find him. He moved right through the crowd and was gone. God helped him to escape. See, God always helps his people. If we can be spiritual. I want to be spiritual. I come to church here and I talk with you and I exhort you like I'm doing tonight. We have a good time in the Lord. We sing and we praise the Lord. And that's wonderful. And we talk about world evangelism, going into all the world and publishing the gospel to every creature, that the end of the world might come. That's good. We have a good time. And that's good. But still, there is something that is great that is given to you, and that is to be able to enter into the spiritual world. See, miracles. We have miracles. I've had miracles. You've had miracles. A lot of people have had miracles. Maybe a cancer was healed, or maybe something happened. Deaf ears was unstopped, or blind eyes was open, or something happened. Maybe a cripple got up and walked. See, you've had these things in your life, and we call them miracles. But in God's world, that's just everyday happenings. See, there's nothing miraculous about that. It's just that the world that we live in and the level that we live on, this is a miracle to us. Because things like that don't happen in our world unless it's a miraculous thing. But see, with God, that's no miracle. With the angels, that's no miracle. See, they do these kind of things all the time in their world. In their world, working with humanity, they do these things all the time. It's miraculous to you and I. But we can be the miraculous one. We don't have to be someone God worked a miracle on. We can be the miraculous one. I'm a miracle tonight. What are you? I'm a miracle. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, are you really? I really am. One of the greatest miracles that's ever been. You say, well, what is your testimony? I've been born again. That's a miracle, folks. It's a miracle that God would even notice me, let alone to be able to stand here and say, I'm born again. Now, I got another miracle. You say, what kind of miracle is that? It's a great, mighty miracle. You say, well, what kind of miracle is it, Brother Pike? Give us your testimony. I'm in heaven tonight. How many thinks that's a miracle? If you don't think it is, you try to get up there. See, it's a great, mighty miracle. I'm standing here in heaven. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man is in heaven. Said, you being a ruler of the Jews, don't you understand this? And he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you got to be born again if you're going to get in here where I'm at. Oh, somebody said, well, he wasn't talking about that. He didn't say those words, did he? But look at the man that hang at Calvary. When the man said, Lord, remember me, he said, this day you'll be with me. There'll be a miracle. This day, he said, you'll be with me in paradise this day. See, in paradise this day. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, do you really believe Jesus went into paradise that day? No, I really don't. He'd always been in paradise. He just took the man into paradise that day. So then God, Jesus, was always in heaven. He was always in paradise, always walking in the Spirit. He never did leave the presence of the Father. The only thing he did was he brought forth his body after about 3 days. Someone would say, well, I think, Brother Pike, what he meant was that he had been in paradise in his spirit, and now he was going to take his body into paradise that day. Well, it would have been a great disappointment because the body didn't go into paradise. It went into the grave. So if there was any paradise about him, it had to be a spirit, and that was already in paradise to begin with. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I think what it was, he took the man's body into paradise. Well, if that was to be it, the man would have got a great disappointment because as far as I know, the man's body went into the grave too. So he would have had a great disappointment. So then it must have been his spirit that went into paradise. Somebody said, well, I agree with you. That must be what it was, Brother Pike. And when we die, we'll do the same thing. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. When I died, I'd done the same thing. See, when I died, I'd done the same thing. I don't have to wait till they put me in the grave to be in paradise. I am dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And I'm in heaven. I am like the thief was. I am with Christ. The Bible said, for God hath translated me into his marvelous kingdom and hid me with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. So I am in the same place that the thief went to. I am in heaven. I am in paradise. He took me into paradise. And the Bible said, I'm hid with Christ. Christ said, this day shall thou be with me. This day I'm with Christ. I'm with Christ. Wouldn't you like to be with Christ? So then I am a miracle. And the man said, Father, open their eyes. Open the man's eyes so that he can see. My prayer is God will open your eyes. Get your eyes of spirit open. You know, you've got an inner man and you've got an outer man, and you need to get the eyes of your inner man open. And if you get them open, then you're going to find out that this inner man is already in the kingdom of God if you've been born again. And then you're going to see the kingdom of God, and like a little baby, you're going to begin to mature, and everything's going to be exciting to you. Like a little boy, a little girl, when they come in this world, a little baby, as they grow, they just have the biggest kind of time. They taste bananas, and they just love it. They taste chocolate milk, and they just love it. And as they grow older, you know, they want ice cream, and they want cookies, and they want jelly beans, and they want everything they can get a hold of. And then they want bicycles and tricycles and cars, and they want all kinds of things. They want diamonds and gold and jewels. They want rings. They want everything, you know, in this world. They want the feelings of exuberance that the nerve system gives off. through the passions of life. They want all those things because it is a world of excitement. Their spirit has entered into a body. And this spirit is enjoying this body. And it's making great discoveries as this spirit matures. It's learning a lot of things about this body. It can look through the windows. It can hear sounds. It can do all kinds of things, you know. And that's the way devils and demons do. They get into the human body. They take over the human spirit. And then they are the adventurous ones. And they share the excitement and the enthusiasm of all of these things of discovery in the human body. And they master the human body. And they use it for their own gullible desire. And your spirit becomes a prisoner. And they defile your body. And then your body is destroyed. And you don't get your body as a gift from God Almighty, because you didn't preserve it and give it to the Heavenly Father. But if we're born again, that means God's Spirit is in me. That means Christ's Spirit is in me. And as I discover all of these things, it's like a mother and a dad that's with a little child. As I excitingly discover all of these potentialities of my body and of the great world around me, as I enjoy these things through my body, while I'm doing all of this, then Christ is just filled with exuberance. He's excited. He sees his little ones, you know. As his little ones are excited, he's excited because this is his gift to them. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, as they discovered things, it was God's gift to them. He wanted them to discover all of those things. And so he gets inside of the temple with us. He's in there with that little infant-like fellow, that spiritual being, that little son of God, that little daughter of the Lord. And they begin to discover, and they grow older, and they get more excited, and then they discover all the things there is in this body, and then all of the things that they can reach through this body. And then when God brings them to that place, he's not through. They're just beginning, because if the body is redeemed and the body is preserved, then throughout eternity, forever and ever and ever, God is still showing his sons and his daughters all of his majesty, all of his attributes, all of his greatness, all of his power. They're excited. They've been come to something else. Worlds without end, all the great things of eternity. They've enjoyed all of their infancy as in this life, and now everything, worlds without end, they're enjoying it, going on and on and on and on. Everything new, he said, behold, I make all things new. Elijah said, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Would we trade eternal life? Would we trade this great exuberance? Would we trade these treasures? Would we trade all of these things for the beggarly elements of this world? Would we sell our birthright for a morsel of bread? Or would we turn away from the things of God for the beggarly elements of this world? What a wonderful world it is, folks. What a wonderful life it is. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. The question is tonight, have you been born again? Have you got your eyes open? If you've got your eyes open and if you've been born again, then you can enjoy this wonderful world of salvation and the wonderful things that we're speaking of tonight. Just a little bit of exhortation to try to help you along the trail. And to make you to understand that you need to be born again. Repent, every one of you, Peter said, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So then tonight you have a chance to be born again. If you've never been born again, then let me invite you to be born again. If you've never committed your life to his trust, then commit it to his trust. As Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. You can have it if you want to. God will give it to you, and you can have it if you want to. If you want it, you can have it. So then I want it, so I got it. And you can have it if you want it. If you want to be born again, then you can be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God, or he shall not see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God except by faith in Christ Jesus. I want you to stand with me. You might say, well, I believe, Brother Pike. I go to church, and I'm sure that you do, and I'm glad that you do. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But the thing is have you been born again? If you believe, the devil believes, but he hasn't been born again. The thing is, have you been born again? They sing that song, Born Again, Free from Sin. I'm glad that I've been born again. Let's sing a little chorus or two together. If you're not doing anything for God, you that are born again, then let me invite you to help us at Bethlehem. Bethlehem is becoming famous around the world. And people all over the world are begging for our fellowship, like the man that called from Alaska. He's a wealthy man. He has a furniture store there. God has blessed him in the natural. But he said, Brother Pike, whether we trade as to the plane or whatever, he said, that isn't important to me. He said, I'm not worried about that. He said, all I want is your fellowship. He said, I want your fellowship, brother. So this is what means so much, is having the fellowship of God. When we have fellowship one with another, then we have the fellowship of God. The Bible said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. You that do not come to the men's meeting, you that do not gather around with the group of men when they're talking about God, and you ladies that don't gather around with the ladies, you've not been born again. You don't have the love of God. You that are so busy making money and feathering your nest and doing your little thing out there, you know, you just run over to the brotherhood once in a while, or run to church once in a while. You haven't been born again. You don't have the Spirit of God. You are a believer, or you wouldn't come around. But see, you haven't been born again. But when you join forces with the right, when you get in and your whole heart is to take all that you've got of your substance, your life, your time, your energy, whatever, and put it into the things of God, when you give your whole life and your whole effort to be with the brotherhood and to talk with the brotherhood and to fellowship the brotherhood, then you know that you're walking in the light as he is in the light. For if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. All right, let's sing a little chorus. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Sing it with me. Every day I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it with me now. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. You love the Lord?
Jesus wants to help you.
He wants to help me. He's got eternal life for you, and he's got something he wants you to do. We sang that song the other night, Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For I know that there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, let my will crumble. Although the task be great, I'll work for you. It's a wonderful opportunity to work for God. You know, when you leave this world, you can't work for God. That's the thing you need to remember, folks. When you leave this world, you can't work for God. Now's your opportunity. This is the golden opportunity. This is when you can work for God and do something for God in a great and in a mighty way. But once you get on the other side, as we say, then God does everything for you and you don't get to do anything for him. See, he's going to do everything for you over there. So we do what we can for God right here. Isn't that right? You love the Lord? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Sing it with me. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's a bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Sing it with me now. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's the bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Hallelujah. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. And if we tell it, then everybody will know. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But everybody knows who Jesus is. Don't you like having eternal life? Being eternally alive forevermore. Being in the power and the glory and the riches and the majesty of your heavenly Father. Being his children. Don't you like being the son of a king? The daughter of a king? Don't you like that? I like being the son of a king. I like that. Hallelujah. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God. God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Will that tomorrow be tomorrow? I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Sing it one more time. Tomorrow, I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun shines, or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Will that tomorrow be tomorrow? I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let's sing this little chorus. We sing it every once in a while. I don't want your gold and silver. I don't want your gold and silver. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me He's everything. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me my everything. Sing it again. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me He's everything. Believe that, say amen. Can you give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to praise the Lord? To love the Lord, to know that God is good, to give Him praise, and to know that we are alive forevermore. Eternally alive forevermore. You believe that? Hallelujah. It's so good to be a Christian. Don't you love to praise the Lord? Sing praises unto the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter how tired you are, when you sing praises unto the Lord, when you pray, you know, over in the morning, way over about 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I say to my wife sometimes, I'm so tired. You know, and then I get to pray and I think, well, I ain't tired. My land, I feel good. You know, and like your brother sings, I feel good, good, good. Moses, after about 40 days without anything to eat, especially after about 80, I imagine he felt kind of tired. But you know, with the exuberance of Christ and the Spirit of God moving within him, he wasn't tired. He wasn't tired because, see, we live by the energy that comes from our inner man, by the Spirit. Isn't that right? And the Bible said we renew our youth like the eagle does. So we renew our strength, we renew our youth, and we don't get tired. Let's sing another chorus together, can we? I like this little chorus. Talk about Elijah.
says, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? A band of angels coming after me. Let's sing that. Eyes open now. Get your eyes open. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? To carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. And let's sing this one. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more. Sing it again. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time, can you lift your hands up and sing it with me if you believe that? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more. Sing it one more time. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. I want you to sing it with me again. I really believe that from my heart. And time's no more, no more, no more. And time's no more, no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land. And time's no more. And no more, no more, and time's no more, no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing one more time? And time's no more, no more. No more, and time, no more, no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time's no more. The Bible said, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. Let's sing that song, Old Time Religion. Can we sing it? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Can you give me another hand? Somebody say praise the Lord. Do you like the old time religion? I like the old time religion, don't you? It'll make you love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you, and do good to them that treat you mean. The old time religion will. I want you to slip your hands up with me. I praise the Lord for every one of you tonight. Thank God for His love, for His abundance of love, and the gift that comes from the Heavenly Father. Thank God for the opportunity to be in the midst of the saints, to worship with them, to sing with them, to talk about the wonderful things of God. I trust that you'll be with us from time to time in service, and I hope that you won't forget our Easter service up at Jeff. This has a great meaning. I hope that you'll be there. I hope every one of you will be there, and I hope you'll come praying and fasting and seeking God. Come with a real testimony from your heart. Come with faith. Come for God to use you. You love Jesus? We're going to sing that Jesus Use Me while you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up. Let's sing it. Just holding our hands up to heaven. Can we sing it together? Give us the key, sister. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, for though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it now. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work. One more time. Jesus, walk. And oh, don't refuse me, surely there is a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, for though, can you sing it again? If you really want Jesus to use you now. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me,
For surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you.
I want you to lift your hands up now. Close your eyes. Coming to the close of another service. Thankful. As the songwriter said, I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. While we're standing here, let's examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God. See if what we're doing is ideas, or if it's really genuinely the wonderful will and mind of God. See if we're really in the Spirit tonight. If you've never been born again, how can you be in the Spirit? And how can you see the kingdom of God? If you've never been born again, you need to be born again. If you've never been born again, you need to be born again. We want you to be born again. Not just be believers. Hundreds and millions of believers in the world today. But the Bible said even though there's many believers in the last days, they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So don't get past feeling. Don't listen to some indoctrination that tells you that you can mix and mingle with the things of the world and go about and do the things of the world. Don't do that. Don't cast away your faith in the Word and soberness as to confidence in what Christ has said in His Word. For it hath great recompense of reward at the end. For he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Keep your faith. See and examine yourselves tonight. See if you're in that faith. For many in the last days, the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity is abounding. That means it's on the all-time high. It's got up. It's going strong. It's abounding. Iniquity is abounding. Frolics are abounding. Jesus said in the last days, gullible desire of the flesh, human passion, ball games, frolics, all of these things would abound in the last days. That they'd reach a highlight. Satan would reach a highlight, climb up into the upper lintels. He would abound in the last days. And the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, then many shall be overthrown. Their faith shall be overthrown. Their hunger and thirst shall convert over to worldly things. And many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's doctrines of devils in the world. Doctrines of devils in the world. And if you don't follow the Word, then you're going to follow somebody's idea, somebody that has told you something, or somebody you have respect to, rather than the Word of God. And that you're going to be misled, and you're going to fall by the wayside. Jesus gave the parables. Some fell by the wayside. But if you'll hold on to God, if you'll hold on to Christ, you won't fall by the wayside. Keep your faith in the Word. Stay with the Word of God. No matter what you do, stay with the Word of God. No matter what anybody tells you, stay with the Word of God. It wouldn't matter if Brother Pike told you anything. Stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is your roadmap to glory. It's the authentic thing. It's been proven. It's been tested. And the Bible said to prove that which is good and to hold fast to it. So stay with the Word of God, no matter what. Stay with the Word of God. And you'll be saved. You'll always be safe. You'll never slip. The Bible said, you that do these things, you shall never fall. As long as you do these things that we're telling you, these things will help you to never fall. And God has given you all things that pertain unto life in this world and in the world to come. Great, exceeding, mighty promises. So tonight, while you're standing here, got your hands up, I want your hearts lifted to heaven. Father, open their eyes that they might see. Open their eyes. Let your eyes of understanding be open now, that you might see. So you can get a hold of the wonderful things of God. Let your eyes be open. You're here tonight to worship the Lord. Here tonight to love the Lord. God wants to help you.
He's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. He wants to help you tonight. To have that help, then that means you've got to do His will. While we're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Denny to come over and dismiss us. While he prays with you tonight, remember there's healing for your body. He that observes lying vanities forsaketh his own mercy. All of those things are vanity. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All those things are vanity. And if you observe those sicknesses, those problems, those heartaches, those oppressions, those things whereby Satan misuses you, if you observe those things in your mind, then you forsake your mercy through Calvary. You forsake your own mercy, the mercy that's given you through Calvary by the blood of Jesus and by the stripes upon His body. Don't forsake your own mercy. It's given to you freely through Calvary. By His stripes you're healed. You pass from death unto life. By His body you're free from sin. So don't observe lying vanities, feelings and frustrations and ideas and anxieties and what people say. Depressions and moods. Observe the Word of God. Believe in the Word of God. Trust in the Word of God. And God will make you strong. He'll make you mighty. As Brother Denny comes.